All right, Brother Bud, you come on.
All right, glad to say it. Take your Bibles, please. The book of Acts, chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. I'm going to begin reading in around verse number 26, I believe it is. Let's see here. Thank you, preacher, for letting us come.
Amen. Bless your heart. Appreciate y'all coming.
They told me when I first started to preach like it was my last time. Amen. That never really meant anything to me until this past year. Somebody say,
amen. Right.
I wasn't sure if we were going to get to have church.
Come on.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on. Thank
God that we're still having church.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank God. 2020 was the longest decade of my life.
Amen.
I'm thankful that we're still here.
Amen.
Y'all do know this ain't our first rodeo. We've been through things before.
Right.
We're still here.
Yeah.
I remember I went on a missions trip to Eastern Europe. We were in Albania, Europe's only Muslim country. And on the way back, we stopped in Rome. And we went down into the Colosseum. And they told me this story about a little missionary from Mexico. His name was Gomez. He said they took the tour of the Colosseum, the old ruined city of Rome. And he climbed up to the very top of it. You ain't supposed to go up there. But he climbed up to the top of it and yelled out to the top of his voice, "Rome, where are you?" And everybody down in the Colosseum was looking up at him. Everybody down in the street was looking up at him. He reached into his pocket. And he pulled out a little New Testament and said, "We're still here. Coronavirus, we're still here."
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Are you in Acts chapter number 11?
Amen.
Acts chapter 11. Let's begin in verse 22. And we'll read down to verse 26. Verse 26 is our text verse this morning. And I want to share with you just these few thoughts on my heart. I thank God for the opportunity to be here, and thank you for letting my family sing. And I enjoyed the good choir singing. I like watching somebody born into the I like seeing God's people get excited about it.
Amen.
I said there's joy in the presence of the angel of God, one sinner.
Amen.
I appreciate the theology that our brother marched down the center aisle shouting about. Said her name just got wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
You know that's a deep theological subject.
Yeah,
come on, that's what I'm talking about.
Come on.
There are debates. They've been arguing for hundreds of years about when did our names get written in the
Bible.
Help us, somebody.
Come on.
I'm telling you when my name got wrote in the Bible.
Yeah.
When I got born again. Her name got wrote in the book. Right there.
Amen.
Help everybody.
Yes.
I'll give you some more good news. There's still plenty of room in
the
book. Amen. In chapter 8, that woman caught in the act of adultery was preached.
Right.
I said, stoop down and started writing.
Right.
And scholars for centuries have tried to figure out what he was writing. I don't care what he was writing. I'm just glad he's still writing.
Yeah,
I'm glad the book ain't over with.
That's
chapter left. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I saved you $20,000 in Bible college.
Right.
Tell you this, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says that we're chosen in Him before the foundation of the world.
Come on.
Help somebody.
Come on. Come on.
Honey, if God didn't know, then He ain't God.
Come on. Right.
Come on.
And if God didn't go, then He ain't good.
Come on.
And God is God.
Amen.
God is good.
Amen.
Whoa. He knew what Judas would do, but he still tried.
Right.
Oh, thank God, God did know.
Amen.
God did know. By the way, when you got in him, by the way, you didn't get in him before the foundation of the world.
Right.
That's not when it happened.
Somebody
ought to read. I'm going to save you $20,000 Bible college tuition and countless hours of studying after Augustine and Calvin and Luther.
Yes.
Paul said in Romans 16, I believe they were his cousins, Andronicus and Juno. Romans 16, who were, here's the quote, I'm going to quote the King James. The only one that really know what it is. Who were yet Christ before
me.
Every Sunday. If Paul was in Christ before the foundation of the world, then when them two old boys were in Christ. You're welcome. Jesus saves and so does Brother Bud. I just saved you a whole bunch of money. You're welcome. Let that reflect next time the offering plate comes around. Let's reflect that. Are you in Acts 11? I have no idea what time it is. Preacher, I like that. He said he's on a program. That's when God started his program. You know what God's program consisted of? You've seen it. Drawing somebody. I like it when you get on God's program. Well, look in your Bible. Preaching's God's idea. And preaching's a good idea.
Amen.
Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 22. Now, it says, Them tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord.
Amen.
For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Here is my thought. The thrust of my message. I've got 4 points, but this is the one thing that I want to talk to you about. And the disciples were called Christians. First in Antioch. Would you pray for me? Our Father, thank you for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for what you do. You're good at what you do. I thank you that you're still in the saving business. I thank you that you're still in the church business. I thank you that you have not abandoned us in our time of need. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. And I pray you to take the Word of God and write it upon the tables of our heart. Help us, I pray. And we'll thank you for it. We'll give you glory. And we'll praise you best we know how. In Jesus' name, amen. I started out to study the life of Paul. He's my hero. He's our model Christian, if you will. Help me, somebody. And so I wanted to study Paul's life and develop, maybe, I don't know if it was going to develop into preacher. I'm a preacher, so I have a good idea. Probably would.
Amen.
But I really done it for myself. I wanted to study Paul for myself. And you know, you can't study Paul without studying those characters that God placed in his life to mold him and to make him into what he was to be. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. But he did not do that by himself. Everywhere he was, there was somebody with him. Everywhere he went, there was somebody with him, molding him and making him into that man that God wanted him to be. Somebody say amen. I realize that I need in every person that God has ever put into my life. The good, the bad, and the ugly have all been used by God. Heaven, somebody. said, you know, preacher, not them because they hurt me. Honey, did you know Jesus could have went to Calvary without Peter? He could have went to Calvary without John.
Right.
He could have went to Calvary without James. Honey, he could not get to the cross without Judas. He could have
gone
to the cross without every devil on the payroll. It's because he had to get to Calvary and he needed somebody to help him.
Amen.
That's truth this time. That's exactly what you need.
Amen.
And so I began to look at some of these characters that God used to help Paul become the man that we admire today. Here is one such character, Barnabas.
Amen.
Barnabas
right.
is an interesting character. It seems he plays a very small role in the narrative of the Scripture. What I mean by that is, you've never read the epistle of Barnabas
right.
to the church in Antioch. You've never read any letters written
right.
to young Titus or to... Heavy somebody,
right.
whosoever, by the name of Barnabas.
Right.
Whereas I know he did not write a gospel.
Right.
He didn't write any of the epistles.
Right.
Heavy somebody,
right.
I don't know of any church named after him,
right.
but still he played a major role in the beginning of the church.
Amen.
Barnabas. Everywhere Barnabas goes in the Scripture, somebody's calling him something
right.
besides what his mama called him.
Yeah.
Are y'all gonna go with me? Are y'all gonna go with me in this study?
Yes.
I've got three messages with me in this pulpit right now.
Amen. Come on.
I only aim to preach one of them, but it depends on how you like
it. Amen.
If this is going to be practice preaching, we had that model. If this is going to be practice, I need to practice.
Yeah.
Come on. If this is going to be practice preaching, I'm going to go and hit all three of them.
Yeah.
Amen.
At your expense.
Okay, so help me preach. And when I say help me, I mean really help me. Amen.
Yeah.
But Barnabas,
come on.
Barnabas seemed like everywhere he went, somebody was calling him something.
Come on.
Besides what his mama called him. You know, Barnabas is not his name. Then we first met Barnabas in chapter 4.
Right.
And his name was Joseph.
Right.
And the disciples said, you know what, you're a blessing. We're going to name you Barnabas. They surnamed him Barnabas. And the Bible said it means the son of consolation. There's a reason why he was a blessing. He had a piece of land, sold it, brought every dime of it, dropped it off the plate. Now, I don't care who you are. That is a blessing.
Everybody,
I pastored for 18 years, and I really enjoyed big offerings. Everybody, I like paying the right bill. Everybody, I like taking care of missionaries. I ain't mad about paying the pastor's salary.
Everybody,
I pastored all the years, and I enjoyed large. The larger, but it never made me mad. And since I've been an evangelist for going on 8 years now, an evangelist shake hands like that. I preached at a preacher's fellowship the other day back in my hometown, Wheatdale, Alabama. And the young preacher that helped get the fellowship started together, he said, I got something in my truck for you, preacher. I said, well, amen. And I followed him out to his truck. He handed an envelope. And I said, oh, brother, you didn't have to do that. You know, that's what you do. No, really, I did. It was a $10.99 for the offering. Last summer when I preached for him.
Yes, Lord.
He said, no, really, I did. Legally, I have to actually
legally
have to do that. I said, okay.
Amen. Glory to God.
Barnabas was a blessing because he brought a large offering that met a need. That is the only reason he was a blessing. What he was doing was he was helping the church get started.
Right.
And that's what Barnabas does.
He helped people get started.
Right.
He helped the church in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 4 get started.
Right.
He helped the church in Antioch in chapter 11 get started. He went to Hallelujah. He went to Galatia.
Yeah.
He helped the four Gentile churches in Galatia get started. He helped Christians get started. He helped preachers get started. He helped churches get started. And you need somebody to help get started.
Amen.
Look at what he told the church in Antioch. That with purpose of heart, he exhorted them all, verse 23, that with purpose of heart, they would cleave up to the Lord. He said, don't quit. He said, don't quit.
Don't quit.
You don't quit. It's on your heart. It's on your heart. Just don't quit. Just don't quit. Every time my brother and I hate to tell y'all this, but it's just the truth. We was over at old man Green's next door. He's across the track and next door to us, and he had a big old watermelon patch. And it wasn't my idea. My brother said, "Let's go get us some of them watermelons." I had one under each arm and one under my knees. I tried. But he had a dog. I heard that dog coming. I thought, it was an old coon dog. I heard him coming.
Uh-oh.
He didn't have a teeth. But I still didn't want to be bit to death by a toothless dog. Could you imagine how long it would take that dog to kill me? And so I abandoned the watermelon theft, and I struck out running. My brother Roger was faster and taller and slender and ran ahead of me. And I ran and I followed him, and he ran right into a sawbriar patch.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Crown of thorns with.
Yeah. Oh.
And I got in there and it was cutting me all to pieces. He hollered back. He said, "Bud, don't stop running. If you ever stop, you will never get started again."
Yeah.
Oh, honey, I'm all started out of the dog. You're like running through a sawbriar patch.
Yeah. Come on.
Disciples named him Barnabas in Acts chapter 11. He went with Paul on the first missionary trip. They got over there and the heathen.
Right.
The heathen decided they would call him Jupiter.
Yep. Right.
Zeus, father of hell. Father
of hell.
Zeus, they called him Jupiter.
Come on.
And they called Paul Mercurius.
Right.
Because he was the chief speaker, Hermes, herald
right.
of God.
Right.
Called him Hermes. And but you know what? Nobody ever called him Jupiter after that.
Amen.
Tell me somebody.
Thank the Lord.
Now here in our text, look at your Bible, verse 26. They were called Christians.
That's right.
First.
Amen.
Now that was stuck. Am I right about
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
They called him Barnabas and that stuck. He was a blessing. And they called him Christian and that stuck.
Yeah.
Tell me somebody.
Right.
Now, let me say something to you about that. That it doesn't matter what you call yourself.
Right.
Help me right here.
Yeah.
What matters is what faith.
Yeah.
By the way, it was not the disciples that chose the name Christian
for right.
themselves.
Right.
They did not name themselves Christians.
Come on.
It was those on the outside.
Right.
It was
right.
those out in the world. It was the heathen. They looked at me and said they something different about
right. yeah.
They don't act like we do. They don't talk like we do. They don't dress like we do. They don't look like we do. There's something different about that crowd. They remind you of somebody. They remind you of Jesus.
Yeah.
They remind you of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
They remind you of Jesus. They talk about Jesus. That's why they call them Christians.
Right. Yes.
And
amen.
That one stuck.
Amen.
You can't give yourself a nickname.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Somebody else has got to call you that.
Amen.
And let me say this to you. What matters is not what you say about yourself.
That's good.
Right.
What matters is what someone else says about you.
Amen.
Oh, you say, but preacher, wait just a minute. What if they say something about me that's not true?
Come on.
Have you ever had anybody say something about you that wasn't true? Has anybody ever called you something that wasn't true? Let me show you. Let me say it with this. It only sticks if it's true.
Right.
If it's not true, it will not stick.
Amen.
You know, they call Jesus a wine bibber. No, they call him a deceiver. They call him a demoniac. He was the prince of the devil, Beelzebub. And that's it. Has anybody ever come? I'm giving you another example. Naomi came back from Moab with her hat in her hand. When she left, came back with nothing. And they said, hey, is that Naomi? She said, don't call me that. You call me Mara. You better call me Naomi. Naomi is present. Call me Mara. I've done been to the courthouse.
Really?
I've done made the arrangements. I've changed my name from pleasant to bitter. Mara means bitter. You call me Mara. And they said, okay, Naomi. We'll call you whatever you want us to call you, Naomi. Hey, y'all, Naomi's here. Well, wait a minute. She don't want y'all to call her Naomi. What was it? Are you getting what a bitter is? Nobody ever called her name. Nobody ever called her Mara because it wasn't true.
It wasn't true.
And those things they say about you that are not true, we are not.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
They only stick unless the truth.
Amen.
Well, let's move on. Everybody, everywhere he went, gave him a nickname. So if it's all right with y'all, took the liberty of giving him a nickname myself. If I did, might as well join the club.
Come on.
I named him Barnabas the Disciple of Difficult Days.
Amen.
I say that, preacher, because it seems like every time he shows up in the scripture, it's a difficult day. It's a difficult situation in Acts chapter 4 when we first meet him. I call it the failure of the communist experiment. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
This may mess up your Hallmark commercial Christianity. There was no commandment given by God for them to sell everything that they had and bring it and put it in the offering plate. Now, that would be a blessing for about a month. But when your belly started growling, help me somebody. You do realize what happened in Acts chapter 2. Here's the key verse in the book of Acts. Chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. That's the key verse to the book of Acts. And in chapter 2, it just so happened that there were people, here's what the King James said, from every nation under heaven. Every nation under heaven heard Peter coming down full of the Holy Ghost. And preach Jesus. Heaven got saved. 3,000 got saved that day. And they were supposed to go ye therefore. They were supposed to go from Jerusalem to Samaria and Judea and the uttermost part. They were supposed to go home and tell their neighbors about Jesus. They were supposed to go back home and tell everybody they met about Jesus. Well, that ain't what it is. Here's what Paul said. They had all things common. Ain't kind of blessing. Neither had any man need. For anybody that was possessed of house or land, sold their possessions and brought it to the apostles' feet, and distribution was made.
Come on.
That sounds real good. Bernie Sanders would be so proud. chapter 2. chapter 4. I call it the failure of the communist experiment. Because it did not work then.
Come on.
Amen.
It will not work now.
Amen.
Somebody holler.
Amen.
I made several mistakes. I ain't even going to talk to you about it because you'll have to bring me back in to preach that one. See how I did that? Job security. You want to hear about the failure of the communist experiment? You preacher knows my number. You know his number and he knows my number. But I want you to look at this passage here. The church at Jerusalem was supposed to be the headquarters
right.
of Christianity. It was supposed to be how church was modeled.
Right.
Come on. It failed. Right. That's that first sermon I ain't gonna preach about. In Acts chapter 11,
yeah.
the church in Antioch
right.
became the model church.
Yes, sir.
It became the hub
right.
of Christianity. It became the model of how you're supposed to do it.
Right.
That's why I call this passage, this message rather, the future of the Christian experience.
Amen.
This is how you're supposed to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's look at it. I ain't going to preach all this, but I am going to say four things. Is that all right?
Amen.
Four things? That's more than three, but it's less than five.
Amen. It
could have been 12.
Amen.
This how it says they were, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They called them Christians. This is real Christianity.
Yes,
right. Not they went around trying to convince people that they were saved.
Come on.
By the way, you can say everything you want to say.
Right.
But it don't matter what you say.
Right.
They can see right through
right.
what you say.
Right.
If you're not a real Christian, honey, you might as well forget witnessing to your neighbor
right.
or to your co-worker or to your students and helping somebody. You're not going to convince anybody because they're not listening to your words. They're looking at your walk. And if your walk doesn't line up with your words, they will mark you off as a phony.
Amen. Right.
Real Christians.
Right.
Real Christians. The disciple of difficult days shows up. Is, they said, hey, there's something happening down there.
Yeah.
Folks has left. Stephen got stoned to death, and there was persecution. And
right.
by the way, guess who's behind all that?
Right.
Saul bringing them right. out, threatening and slaughter,
right.
getting about and trying to kill everybody. And so they scattered. This is what I read of John Wesley's sermon the other day.
Come
no
on.
Wonder they think you got to get saved again. When I got done reading that John Wesley sermon, I thought I needed to get saved again.
Right.
But here's what John Wesley said. He said persecution is God's final remedy for a backslidden people. And they would not leave.
Amen.
They would not leave Jerusalem. They were of that mega church movement. They
Come
thought
on.
The world was better. They thought bigger was better. They thought the success of the church was measured by how many people were coming rather than how many people were going. Old Ephraim used to say, he said, go ye therefore, and he said, Lo, I'm with you always. He said, no go, no no. Don't expect God to keep up your end of the bargain if you're not going to keep up your end of the bargain. If you don't know, there's no goals. And the first two letters of the word gospel is goals. We're supposed to go. The gospel will give you a goal span. You're supposed to go. And they stayed. And they stayed. And they refused to go. And God had us scattered them with persecution.
Right. Amen.
There's a crazy man in there.
Yeah.
Killed.
Right.
And they left. And they left. And verse 19, there arose persecution about Stephen. And they traveled far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word. And they got down there. And Antioch and people got saved.
Amen.
And the church just happened. Hey, y'all. You'll be surprised what we'll... Hey, tell them tell us we can't meet inside the building.
Come on.
Tell us we can't shake hands.
Come on.
I'm here to help somebody.
Come on.
I'm here. People are not trying to get this thing. I had it back in January. I ain't trying to get it again.
Everybody.
I'm not licking doorknobs, but I'm not going to somebody. I'm not going to live by fear. Can I get a
witness?
Tell us we can't meet together. And Christians will find a way. If we don't have a meeting inside this year, we'll find a stand by the river somewhere where prayer was wont to be made.
Amen.
Under every circumstances, God's people have it.
instinctively. Come together.
Oh,
God, people have instinctively gotten together and met together for the worship of God. We always have. And remember, tonight, we always will. It don't matter if it's the Democrats or the Republicans. It don't matter who it is. We'll find a way. We'll find a way to meet together.
Amen.
Here, and they said, we've got to find out what's going on down there. Barnabas said, I'll go.
Yeah.
And so they sent Barnabas. And there he came. He saw the grace of God.
Amen.
Well, that means you can see it.
Yes, sir.
You can see it when God puts homes back together.
Amen.
That is pouring that liquor down the drain.
Yeah.
When mamas come home. Heaven's come home. When the prodigal comes back.
Come on.
When folks start getting right with God and staying right with God, you can see the grace of God.
Amen.
Saw it. Help them get started.
Amen.
Did you say amen? If I were telling you, Barnabas, you know what they were talking about, don't you?
Come on.
They said they were Christians.
Yeah.
Among others, they were talking about Barnabas.
Right. Come on.
He's a real Christian.
Right.
The disciple of difficult days.
Amen.
Was a real Christian.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you something. Do you believe me when I tell you that we're living in difficult days?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Difficult days brings out the worst in some folks.
That's right.
But it brings out the best in others.
Amen.
And when difficult days arise, real Christians rise to the top.
Amen.
Let me say four things about this real Christian by the name of Barnabas. Look at the biographical sketch in verse 24. He was a good man.
Right.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, hallelujah. That ain't his grandma saying that about him.
Right. Amen.
Are you with me? Right.
Come on.
I'd expect his boss to say that if he'd been on time for work and, you know, put in a good day for a good day to pay. Heaven for
him. Come on.
But it was the Holy Ghost that said this through the pen of Luke.
Right.
It was God that said he was good.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means he was a saved man.
Amen.
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 I can deduce by the fact that he was a saved man. I believe I can prove it in Acts chapter 4. Yep. I don't know if that's when he got saved, but I think that's when he got right. When he sold that piece of property and put that money in there, there's a reason for that. Help me somebody. It wasn't because he was trying to be a blessing. It's because he's trying to get right with God. Because when he got saved, he wanted to pay it back.
Amen.
You get born again by the grace of God, you're going to pay it back.
Amen.
Tell you about your old boy, he used to go in this old country store and used to rip that old man off. He'd have flying and steel things when he was a kid. And sometime around 96, God saved him in the backseat of an old gray Oldsmobile in Crossville, Tennessee. And that same boy went down in that old country store and said, hey, I owe you. I pulled his wallet out and said, I owe you big. I stole from you all them years. And that man said, son, you don't owe me nothing. I'm glad to hear you got
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You won't pay it back. I think this is saved, man.
Amen.
You know what makes you a good person? It's not the absence of bad deeds or the presence of good deeds. It's whether you're saved or not.
Amen.
I've heard it said a million times. I'm a good person.
Yeah,
based on what? And whose opinion is that, by the way?
Yeah,
tell me somebody.
Amen.
You may not do bad things to people. In fact, you may do good things, but that does not make you a Christian. That does not mean you're saved. Help somebody. If you're really a good person, it's because you have the imputed righteousness. It's because God took your unrighteousness off of you and put it on Jesus and put his righteousness off of Jesus and put it on you. And you're now accepted into the lesson. You're known in the righteousness of Christ. And that is the only way you can be good.
Amen. Yes.
He was the same man. Look at what else he said about it. Full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know, there's only two men in the Bible that the Bible says that he was full of the Holy Ghost and faith. The other one said he was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. One was the first Christian missionary, Stephen.
Yeah.
The second was the first Christian martyr, Stephen.
Right.
And the second is the first Christian missionary, Barnabas.
Amen.
Here's what the Bible says about him. He was full of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? That means he was a surrendered man.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, when you hear about somebody talking about being full of the Holy Ghost, you'll get the impression that the Holy Spirit is like a substance. Tell me somebody.
Come on.
Like a substance. And that some this person or that person has more of the Holy Spirit of God than other people. But that's not how it works at all.
No, sir.
He's not a substance. He's a somebody.
Right.
And when the Bible says that he was full of the Holy Ghost, it does not mean that he had more of God than other people had.
Come
on. It means that God had more of him. There was no rooms in his heart where the Holy Ghost was not allowed to go. There was no days of his life where the Holy Ghost was not allowed to be in the office. He could get down in his wallet if he wanted to. He could get down into his closet if he wanted to. He could look at his television if he wanted to. He could listen to his music if he wanted to. There was no area of his life whatsoever where the Holy Ghost was not allowed to move. He yielded himself as instruments of the righteousness of the God. And honey, this is what Brother Sammy Allen used to always say. He said the secret to the Spirit life is instant obedience. When the Holy Ghost of God tells you to do something, then just do it. And if the Holy Ghost of God tells you not to do it, then just don't do it.
Amen.
He was a surrendered man. That's a real Christian.
Right.
Verse 24. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. Watch this. And of faith. Or that means he was a settled man.
Amen.
He was living by faith.
Right.
That does not mean that Barnabas had all the answers.
Right.
By the way, this list does not mean Barnabas was perfect.
Amen.
I can show you in Acts chapter 15, which the third sermon.
Yeah,
if you want me, I ain't gonna say nothing about that. You get me back. Bible said that the contention was so sharp that they departed asunder one from the other.
Yes, sir.
You're gonna have to bring it back from that one. No, just because he was saved and full of the Holy Ghost, heaven said that does not mean he was perfect.
Amen.
Said he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost, and faith. Well, that means he was a set. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
He believed God over circumstances.
Amen.
He lived by faith.
Amen.
Had a man tell me one time, he brought me his bank statement. And he was quoting my sermon back to me. You say, if I was to tithe, that God would open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing. He said, he tried to press down, you know, when he pressed it and shake it and interrupt. Heaven, somebody.
Yeah, come on.
He said, that's what you said. That's what you said. He said, but my bank, here's my bank statement.
Come on.
He said, he must have been from Missouri. He wanted me to show him. That's
of God. Show
him. He said, show me the blessings of God. Well, I hand it back to him. I said, which one are you going to believe?
Right. Come on.
You going to believe the Bible? Or are you going to believe the bank statement?
Come on. Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
It's really just that simple.
Amen.
You say, preacher, my eyeballs are telling me things are bad.
Come
but
on.
The Bible tells me that things are just like God wants them.
Amen.
I said, well, which one are you going to believe? You don't believe your eyeballs, you don't believe your Bible.
Amen.
I said in this Christian life, there will be times when you'll have to look your eyeballs in the eyeballs and call them liars. And
say,
I don't care what you tell me. I'm going to believe my Bible over my eyeballs. I'm going to believe my Bible over the government. I'm going to believe my Bible over what the government says. I'm going to believe my Bible.
Amen.
That's faith. And he was full of
faith. Amen.
He didn't have to pray about tithing.
Right. Amen. Amen.
You know there's some things you ain't got to pray about.
Amen.
Amen. You can tell a pastor on you. This is my favorite point. This is the last one. This will be your favorite. Little boy met me at the door. He said, man, I like that preacher. Nobody talking to me, not even the pastor. And the little boy walked up to me and said, I like that preaching. I said, come here, man, come here. I'll give you a dollar, stand there and just tell me, what did you like best about it? He said, well, that part where it ended. I said, give me back my dollar. That's his favorite. That's probably your favorite too. Well, here it is. Look at verse 25. They was having revival. Am I safe to say they was having revival?
No.
The grace of God, people getting saved left and right. God added to the church, help me somebody. Much people added unto the Lord. Church growing, the grace of God, people getting right with God. Church just happened.
Amen. Come on.
And they were having a great time. And old Barnabas was Mr. Encouragement.
Yeah.
That's his name. That's what his name means. Son of Consolation. That's the same word for the hope that the Bible uses for the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The one called alongside the heaven.
Right.
Yes, he was an encourager. Barnabas will make you feel like it's all about you.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, you know why? Because when you first get started, it really is all about you. Right.
Come on.
And then you'll grow up a little bit and you'll realize, hey, it ain't all about me. There's other people out here.
Amen. Come on.
There's other people out here. And then you grow up a little bit more and you realize it ain't about you. It ain't about them. It's all about
you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, but when you first get started, it's all about you. And Barnabas will help you. He'll slip it on around you. He'll slip it on around you. He'll be a blessing to you. He'll help you. He'll say things to you you need to hear. You have a dead church service. You say, Brother Barnabas, stand up. Honey, you have you swinging off the head of the air. He'll make you feel better. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You need that when you first get started.
Amen.
It'll be a good day when we get to where we wean ourselves off of them goosebump days.
Come on.
Hey, I like
them. Come on. Come on.
I like having a good time. I'd rather, I like shouting in church.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I preach, it's the funniest thing. I preach up north and out west a whole lot. They ain't gonna act like me, but they like to get me in there and watch me act like me. What's he gonna do now? Yeah.
Amen.
I like having a good time, and they were having a good time.
Amen.
Here's Barnes' finest hour. This, in my opinion, is what makes him a real Christian. Look at verse 25. He left. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. It came to pass a whole year they still themselves talked to people. And then they called him Christian. They didn't call them Christians when they were shouting.
Come on.
Taking laps. I'm all for taking laps. I'm all for shouting.
Amen.
Here's what Barnabas said. We've had a good time. It's been wonderful. And I have taken you as far as I can take you.
Come on.
Now what you need is you need a chief speaker.
Come on.
You need somebody that can take... We've gone high. Hallelujah.
Come on.
You need somebody to take you deep.
Right.
But
amen.
Need somebody to take you to that next level, Christian.
All right, come on.
He said, I know just the man.
Yeah.
I'm going to go find him. Hey, this text was not the first time Barnabas ever went to fetch Saul.
Right.
He went and found him. Did you know Saul was the chief speaker?
Come on.
The transition is very evident throughout these next chapters up to chapter 15. It was Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. Then all of a sudden it was Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas. Paul,
right.
Somebody.
Right. Come on.
You know what he was doing? You know what happened when Barnabas went and got Saul and brought him back?
Come on.
We don't have any sermons. I'm sure he did preach some. We don't have them recorded. We have Saul's sermons recorded, several of them, in the book of Acts.
Right.
We don't have any sermons where Barnabas ever preached. You know what he was doing? He was taking a back seat.
Come on.
He stepped away. And let Saul get in there. Let Brother Paul.
Amen.
Tell me somebody.
Right. Amen.
He preferred someone else above himself. Here's
amen.
The point. Here's the point. He was a selfless man.
Amen.
Oh, that's a real Christian right there.
Amen.
That's a real Christian right there. Out in North Alabama where I live, well, I'm not North Alabama, Central Alabama, where I passed from North Alabama, they ride around in big old F-150s with them big old 27-inch
mud grip tires.
Come on.
Have mufflers and open headers and coon dog boxes on the back of it.
Come on.
Help me somebody.
Yeah,
help
man.
Big old sticker on the back window that says soft life.
Yeah.
And they ain't never even seen the ocean.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Soft life.
Come on.
They come by my house at all hours of the night with them trucks that ain't got no mufflers. They ain't modifying things.
Yeah.
Heaven somebody.
Come on.
What they need to do is scratch that soft light sticker off there and put self light.
Right.
Come on.
Help me somebody.
Oh, hey.
It's all they care about. Did you know that sin life is self life?
Right.
The first major characteristic of the first sin recorded in our Bible, Genesis chapter 3. First thing Adam did, he hid himself.
Right.
Go back and look at Genesis chapter 3. When Adam sinned, he hid himself.
Right.
So many, the sin life is the self life.
Right.
You know why drunkards go to the bottle? Because they don't care about their mama. They don't care about their daddy. They don't care about their children. They don't give a look about their wife. They don't care about nobody in their life. All they care about is me. The self life.
Amen.
While the drug addict goes back to their drug, I promise I ain't gonna do it no more. And they'll run right back to it. You know why? Because they don't care about their mama. And they don't care about their dad. And they don't care about their children. And they don't care about their family. And they don't care about their
family. Come on.
And if you think the drugs and the alcohol are the worst, the only thing worse to God than unrighteousness is self-righteousness. He said, our righteousness is hard as filthy rags. The best we got is the worst he can think of. And if self-righteousness will damn your soul to hell, rather than unrighteousness, praise God. The Bible said, let him see and get back. To God, go to hell from a bar stool or a church pew.
Come on.
I love preaching in the jail.
Come on.
Amen.
You ain't got to go in there and convince them that they're sinners.
Come on.
You just go in there and tell them about a God who don't care. Where they've been and what they've
been. Hallelujah.
I was up near Chattanooga. And this old boy, he was a gang member, a member of the West Side Blood. That ain't even in Chattanooga, by the way.
Come on.
So boy had a 1964 model, I guess it was a Cadillac, or I don't know what it was. And oh,
Come on.
Metallic green paint.
Come on.
All in fact, everything you can think of is on it. Somebody say amen.
Come on.
Listen to that old filthy rap music.
Come on.
Help me somebody.
Amen.
And his buddies around, I couldn't talk to him. Because they mocked me.
Come on.
It's all by himself this time.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Yeah. He's all by himself. I come and struck a conversation up with him.
Amen.
I told him. He broke the shot. He began to tell me. He began to weep. He'd say, preacher.
Yeah.
What if I've done things that God won't forgive me of?
Come on.
And I can tell you, I didn't ask.
Come on.
You see, I'm Catholic. Tell me somebody.
Amen.
You ain't climbing in no box, rubbing beans, sucking wafers. Tell me somebody.
Amen.
Come
on.
I ain't wearing no dress. I ain't climbing in no box. You ain't telling me all that.
Right.
The Bible does not say confessing your sins won't be
there. Amen.
That's why there's so many perverts and pedophiles. They sit in that box all day long, listening to every wicked thing that their people have ever done. I'll tell you something, they can't handle their own sin, let alone everybody else. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
squash and roll Italy on Wednesday afternoon.
Come on.
There's thousands standing out there. And here comes the Pope out there with his little funny hat. I wanted to preach so bad. If you say, preacher, would you preach that's bad at Yeah.
Amen.
If they don't let me, honey, I'd have climbed up in that little window and put that funny hat on. I stood there. Tell me somebody.
Come on.
I said, stand up, take your Bible, go over here, hug a neighbor, sit down. Tell me somebody. I preached Jesus to
them.
They throw me off at that one. I think it wasn't involved down there, locked up. It wasn't in the others. Anyhow, he was a selfless man. He went and got Saul and brought him in, and as far as I know, he never got taught again. In fact, chapter 14, they went into a synagogue, and after the chief of the synagogue got done doing his thing, he seen Paul and Saul and Barnabas and Saul come in, and he said, Brett, here's the word. This is what the King James says.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you from memory.
Yeah. Come on.
Because you can memorize the King James Bible.
That's right. Amen.
Anyway, he said, if you have any word of exhortation, say on.
Amen.
Now, if that man was to say, somebody got a word of exhortation, and Barnabas was in the house, did I tell you his name was called the Son of Consolation? That means the son of exhortation.
Right.
You see what he done in Acts chapter 11? He exhorted them. That's what he does.
Right.
That's his ministry. That's what he's good at. Hallelujah. If anybody can give you a word of exhortation, it's Barnabas.
Right.
But the Bible said Saul beckoning with the hand. But I got a word over my heart.
Yeah.
It wasn't a word of exhortation, honey. It wasn't no real good feel-good sermon. It wasn't one of these modern-day sermons you hear now. Pick yourself up by the bootstraps. Tell somebody. A real good feel-good sermon to salve the soul for about 5 minutes until the reality of life actually hits you right in the face. Tell somebody. No, he preached on a warning. He said, leave the wrath to come.
Amen.
Barnabas never got to preach again, as far as I know.
Amen.
He was a selfless man.
Right.
Here's what somebody said, and I'm done. It's probably Spurgeon who said everything else. It takes more grace than one can tell to play second fiddle and to play it well.
Amen.
The old brought old Saul in there and said, this people need to hear. Tell them about that time he was going down to Damascus. And seen that light? Tell him about
that. Come on.
He said, tell him about that time. Hey, Saul, tell him about that time God, you went over to the wilderness of Arabia.
Yeah. Come on.
Where'd you go anyway? Did you go up in Horeb, the same place Moses got the Old Testament?
Come on.
You went up the same place he got the New Testament. Hey, Saul, tell him about that.
Amen.
Tell them about that time they had to let you down in the basket because the king's trying to kill you.
Yeah.
But their lay and weight was known of you because you invented how to kill people.
Right.
Come on. Right.
Church.
Amen.
Come on.
Tell them about that time they let you down in the basket.
What?
He said, tell them some of the mysteries. He said, tell them about that thing. What'd you call it? The rapture.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody ever heard of that before.
Come on.
Tell them about that.
Amen. Come on.
Huh?
Amen.
He preferred somebody else above himself.
Amen.
That's the self life is the sin life. The selfless life is the same life. That's a real Christian.
Yeah. Amen.
I'll tell you something about these difficult days we're in.
Come on.
We're going to need the real. Would the real Christians please?
Amen.
Would the real Christians please show up?
Amen.
These are some difficult days.
Amen.
We need more than ever the real Christians. Preacher mentioned this earlier, and I'm going to say this and I'm done. About that pandemic and people not coming back. I'm afraid that coronavirus, I'm not saying it's not real, honey. I have.
Okay?
I have. I know it's real.
Amen.
I know it's real. It was really manufactured by some Chinese folks. It was really, I call it a smart virus. Whatever you got wrong with is what it'll attack.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. It's real.
Right.
Here's what it did.
It gave folks the excuse to be in the
Father. All right.
Amen.
Come on.
It gave folks the excuse they've been looking for.
That's right.
Yep.
Come on.
And they come back. The real Christians will find a way through, right?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
When the real Christians please show up.
Amen.
In these difficult days, right. Let's all stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Can we do an invitation, preacher? Is that all right? Somebody come to the piano, please. Thank you, sir. While she's coming to play an invitation, you want, I don't know how y'all do it. You want to come lead an invitation here? I don't know. Y'all do it however y'all do it. Okay, she's fine. Heads bowed, eyes closed. And I want to ask you this. Are you a real, well, instead, it didn't matter what you said about yourself. I'm just going to ask you this. Has there ever been a time in your life when you got born again? You're saved by the grace of God. You know you're saved. You know you're saved. If you don't know you're saved, you can get saved. Richard's standing here. He's got his Bible handy. If you need help, he'll show you. If you need him to pray with you, he'll be glad to pray with you. Would you come to God's touch your heart? Father, thank you for your word. Help us in this invitation time to touch our hearts. Thank you.